And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It is Saturday, August the 7th, 2010. You are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth Podcast here on the Spine Podcasting Network, uglytruth.podbean.com. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen, and we have one heck of a good show lined up for you today. I promised earlier in the week that we had something special brewing for the weekend, and indeed, it is here, ladies and gentlemen. There is a church down in Gainesville, Florida, called the Dove World Outreach Center, that is pastored by Dr. Terry Jones. They have made the news recently over the fact that they plan to have a Koran burning event on September the 11th at the church. I contacted Dove World Outreach, and I asked them if Dr. Jones would be willing to speak with me to do an interview. Naturally, they, given the amount of attention that they have gained recently by mainstream news, they were kind of reluctant. They wanted to know what this was all about. And I just told them, well, I'm just really interested in what he would like to do, where he's going with this, what he hopes to achieve. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just for the record, I was never dishonest about anything. I told Dr. Jones's assistant, who was handling the scheduling, that I agreed with him on his social issues, but that I had some questions and some concerns over this business of burning the Koran, whether it was a good idea or not. And for the simple reason, ladies and gentlemen, as I have pointed out on this program in the last few weeks, all of this anti-Islamic hysteria, it's going to destroy our country. It is destroying our country. We are going bankrupt because we are fighting at least two wars, officially speaking. Two wars against two Islamic countries. And the SOBs responsible for bringing this about, they're just getting warmed up. Okay, they would love to see this thing expand to include every Islamic country in the world. And the spark plug for this terrible machinery that is going to destroy this country if it is not stopped is all of this anti-Islamic hysteria. It's nothing but a bunch of lies, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I can remember when I was a kid. I know some of you out there get tired of my anecdotal stories, but I think that they are very valuable in illustrating things. I remember when I was a kid, my cousins came over to visit, and we lived on a pretty good-sized piece of land with woods on it and whatnot. And we were all young, and my dad said, don't go wandering off too far into the woods. Well, naturally, my cousins were there, and you know, it went in one ear and out the other. And so we started heading up the hill and getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the woods, just running around having fun like kids do. And then all of a sudden, from about 100 yards away, we hear this terrible roar that sounded like some type of giant, horrible animal that was going to tear us to pieces. My brothers and my cousins literally started screaming at the top of their lungs, running down the hill as fast as they could. Now, I started to move, and then I said, wait a minute, that roar sounded familiar. And I turned around and I looked, and my dad is hiding behind this tree on the ground, laughing himself to death over the hysteria that he had just caused. Okay, my cousins and my brothers are tripping over sticks and stumps and rocks. It was absolute pandemonium, and my dad was sitting back there laughing. And I tried yelling to my brothers and my cousins. I said, it's okay. It's just Dad. Look, he's right over there laughing. They couldn't hear anything, okay? They were so terrified that all they could think of was getting down to the bottom of that hill as quickly as possible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the situation that we face today with regards to all of this anti-Islamic hysteria. There is no reaching these people. You can show them point blank where they're dead wrong in their assertions, and it doesn't make any difference. They're angry. They're afraid. They want, and somebody's got to die. That's what it boils down to. Somebody has got to die. So I have made it a point now, ladies and gentlemen, that when I run into some of these anti-Islamic jokers, I bring them out. And if I have to insult them, if I have to make them look like fools, then that's what I'm going to do. And that is what we did today. We, as best we could, maintained as much of a polite environment and proper decorum as possible. Anyway, I'm just going to stop my jabbering on about that, and I'm going to just go ahead and let you hear it for yourself. Okay, first of all, I want to thank you for agreeing to speak with me. I've been, ever since following this story, I've been wanting to speak with you. Let's see, you are, do you prefer to be called Pastor Jones or Dr. Jones? Which do you prefer?
It doesn't really matter that much, but yeah, doctor's fine.
Okay, Dr. Jones, that'll be fine. Okay. Okay, so your church is Dove World Outreach. People can find this by going to doveworld.org, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, looking through your website here, obviously you are very dedicated to what you're doing. I watched the video that you had on the front page, and you start off by mentioning these moral issues that are destroying the fabric of our country. The first is abortion, and then you mention that 3,500 innocent children are killed every day in this country, which is certainly not just the truth, but truly a tragedy. It is the unspoken Holocaust. Then you go on to show a news clip of President Obama talking about that he envisions the day that we're going to see same-sex marriages here in America. Now, I just want you to know, Dr. Jones, right off the top, that I am a very conservative Christian. I have been married to the same woman now for 20 years. We have 9 children. There isn't an issue that I can be accused of being liberal on. However, I am a bit curious here as to why the video starts off talking about abortion, horrible crime, goes into the issue of same-sex marriages in this country, another horrible crime, and then right from there, it goes into a discussion of Islam. Can you give me a little bit of insight as to why you tried to make this connection between these morals that are destroying our country and then the Islamic religion?
Yeah, there is not a direct connection in that sense. We feel that these issues are very, very important, and the church is not standing up on these issues. As we said, like abortion, same-sex marriage, as we look at the condition of the church today, we see that the church does not stand up on issues. They hide behind the walls of the church. They do not come out. We included in that list Islam because we feel that Islam, and especially Sharia law, that Islam is a very, very dangerous religion. It's a very dangerous political system. It is in the United States masquerading itself as a religion of peace, where, according to Sharia law, it is actually a religion of violence. Plus, we believe, the T-shirts say, on one side it has Islam is of the devil, and on the front side it has the scripture that Jesus Christ is the only way. So we have a definite twofold message. Number one, no to Sharia law, no to Islam of that form, and also, of course, more important, Islam is a total false religion. The Quran is a book not inspired by God, and it is causing 1.5 billion people to go to hell.
Okay. Now, I would assume, Dr. Jones, that you would include pornography in terms of the ills that are destroying America, correct?
Yes, we would. We just had, 2 months ago, a demonstration in front of the porn shop here in Gainesville.
Okay, good. Okay, now, your book here, Islam is of the Devil, I see that on the cover here you say, the subtitle would be, How Know the Spiritual Truths That Will Bring the Christian Church back to its God-given position. Now, here is where I am curious, okay? Because on the front of your website, you do mention that you follow the New Testament, okay? You are a New Testament church based on the Bible and the Word of God. And you say, we believe that God is calling a new generation in this end time. So you do believe that we are in these prophetic times that Jesus talked about, that John on the island of Patmos talked about, and which are detailed in the book of Revelations, correct?
We definitely believe that we are in the end times, yes.
Okay, now here is my question for you. When Jesus was asked about these end times by his followers, he gave some pretty specific details as to what it was going to be like. Both in the Gospels and also in the book of Revelations. Now, perhaps this was some oversight on somebody's part, but Jesus didn't mention anything about a world religion that was going to take over in the form of Islam or anything like that. Mainly, his warnings were about the synagogue and about the Pharisees. In fact, in Revelations, both the second and third chapter, he doesn't warn us about the mosque of Satan. He warns us about the synagogue of Satan. What are your feelings on that?
Well, we're not... as we look around the world, we see that even though maybe Islam is not going to take over, we feel that it's a tremendous threat, not only spiritually, because it's, of course, leading people to hell. But we do see that it is making great, great inroads into Europe. And as it does that, it tries to institute Sharia law, mm-hmm. Which is a very violent form of punishment, as you know, calling for the stoning of homosexuals, mm-hmm. the cutting off of hands. Mm-hmm. So we feel that it is definitely a end-time evil that needs to be fought, or at least that needs to be stood up against.
Okay. I guess what I'm getting at here is that if our Lord Jesus Christ, who certainly knew all and saw everything, if this truly were something as apocalyptic and as dangerous to his church as certainly as your book and your ministry are suggesting, don't you think that he would have, I mean, obviously we can't crawl into the mind of Jesus Christ, but like any good father who wants to warn his children, you know, he'll say, listen, don't go down by the bayou. There are alligators down there, and this is what they look like, son. Let me draw you a picture of this alligator. And this alligator will eat you whole with one swallow. And yet Jesus didn't seem to do that with Islam, although he did go to considerable length in warning us about the conspiracies of the Jews, about the synagogue of Satan, and all of the rest of that. So maybe I'm beating a dead horse here, but I, as a student of the Bible and as a student of prophecy, I find it curious that Jesus really didn't mention anything about that. Now, as far as your assertion that we have to watch out for Sharia law, after all, Dr. Jones, as you pointed out in your video, we're murdering 4,000 of our unborn children a day in this country. Our young people have been completely demoralized and despiritualized. They have been taken over by a false spirit of hedonism, of godlessness, and everything else that you can imagine. The Muslims didn't do this. Islam did not do this. There are much more powerful forces that have already taken over in this country, that were responsible for taking prayer out of school, that were responsible for legalizing the murder of unborn, legalizing and mainstreaming pornography. I think that, would you not agree with me that these are the things that we need to focus on, and that worrying about the Muslims taking over in America, that this is more of a secondary issue?
I think it actually is more of a secondary issue. I mean, to us, it is important. It is right now very actual because of 9/11. But actually, the main focus of my book is really the church. The problem with Islam is not Islam. The problem with America, or the problem with Islam, is actually the church.
Okay.
So I would agree 100% in the sense, and that's what we are trying to do. Sure, right now we have a very strong focus on Islam, But we have also done protests at the abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm.
We just did a protest here at City Hall because we have a homosexual mayor. Definitely, we are definitely 100% believe that the problem with America is not Islam. The problem with America is the church.
Okay.
Church does not stand up. It does not preach against immorality, mm-hmm. fornication, adultery, homosexuality, mm-hmm. abortion.
Mm-hmm.
It does not stand up. The church is very self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
It is more worried about how I can become a better you mm-hmm. than actually preaching the gospel.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good answer. Okay, now let me ask you this. I'm looking at this webpage you have here because you have coming up here a landmark day on September 11th. You are going to have a Quran burning event at your church in, is it Gainesville, Florida? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. You have here on your website 10 reasons to burn a Quran, and then you have them itemized one down to 10. The first one says, the Quran teaches that Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen Son of God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was not the Son of God, nor was he crucified, a well-documented historical fact that only Islam denies. There are other religions that teach that Jesus was not the Son of God.
Right.
One in particular, Dr. Jones, I would assume that you are aware of this, is modern-day Judaism. They teach
right.
that Jesus was a bastard, that he was a sorcerer, that his mother was a prostitute who mated with Romans. And so if we're going to be burning Qurans for, and I know this is only one item among several items you have here justifying the burning of the Qurans, are we also going to be burning copies of the Talmud?
Well, as of right now, we do not plan that. I mean, it is not our habit to go around and burning books. This is something, like I said, that is related to 9/11. It is to send a clear message to Islam that, like I said, Sharia law is not welcomed here in America, but we believe, as I said, that Jesus Christ is the only way. That is the message that we are also preaching, whether it be Judaism, whether it be Mormonism, whether it be any other Hinduism. Everyone is going to hell if they are not saved, covered by the blood of Jesus.
Okay, but why just the Quran? Why are we not going to burn?
Mainly because of 9/11. I don't know if we really feel it's our calling to have a book burning ceremony once a month. We do feel it is our calling to call the church to stand up, to speak out the truth, and let people know and come back to just we are astounded at the weakness of the modern day church.
Mm-hmm.
We here in Gainesville, we have so many, many, many churches who actually support us on the telephone or behind closed doors, or will call you to the side and say, yeah, we're really for that. Jesus is the only way. But we do not have basically one church who will come out and really stand up.
Okay.
We just had one of the pastors of the largest charismatic church here in the city tell us, or tell a friend of ours, they agree with what we're doing 100%, but cannot say anything.
Mm-hmm.
To us, that is an absolute disgrace and cowardness of pastors and the church. I do not know what these people will do. I realize that when you do what we do, we get attacked and attacked and attacked and attacked. But at the same time, I don't know what Christians, churches, and pastors are going to do on the day of judgment when they stand before God and they were too cowardly to at least stand on what they believe.
Okay. I can definitely truck with that. Now, I'd just like to read a couple of quotes here, and I'd like to get your take on them. Quote, Jesus shall speak to people in the cradle and in maturity, and he shall be righteous. And God will teach him the book of wisdom, the law of the gospel, and appoint him a messenger to the children of Israel. And he will say to them, quote, I have come to you with a sign from God, and I will heal those who are blind and the lepers, and I will raise the dead by the power of God. Next quote, and Jesus shall be a sign for the coming of the hour of judgment. Therefore, have no doubt about that hour. When Jesus came with clear signs, excuse me, he said, now I have come to you with wisdom. Therefore, fear God and obey me, for God, he is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him, for this is the straight way. One more quick quote here. Behold, the angel said, O Mary, God has chosen thee and purified thee and has chosen thee above all the women of all nations. O Mary, God gives thee glad tidings of a word from him. His name will be Jesus, the Son of Mary, held in honor in this world and in the hereafter and of those nearest to God. Dr. Jones, I assume you know where these quotes come from. Dr. Jones?
Excuse me?
I assume you know where these quotes come from.
I guess so, yeah. What is your point?
They come from the Quran, and this is the book that you are going to be burning, these passages that speak so favorably of Jesus and his Blessed Mother. These are the books you're going to be burning, but you're not going to be burning issues or copies of the Talmud that speak of Jesus as a sorcerer and as a sex pervert and as an idolater and his mother as a prostitute. What good does it do to burn these copies of this book, the Quran, that speaks so favorably of Jesus Christ and his mother, and of Christians, by the way, because the Quran says that the greatest friend to Muslims are Christians because they have priests and prophets and men of learning who are not proud. Why are we going to be burning books that speak so favorably of Jesus Christ?
Well, like I said, because this is connected with 9/11. We feel that the Quran and Sharia law is responsible for 9/11. And just because the Quran or some other book speaks highly of Jesus, that doesn't actually mean too much. What we have to recognize is that Jesus Christ is God, the Son of God, the only way and the only Savior. Mm-hmm. No matter how many books or people who speak good of Jesus, that doesn't mean anything unless they talk about him being God, the Son of God, and the only way.
Okay. Now let me just ask. You have a video on your website, and the person listing it is Fran Ingram. Is that the fellow who's actually doing the video?
Is that what?
Is that the fellow who actually appears in that video? It's called The Sorcerer's Scroll, and it quotes Acts 19. There's a off to the section there. There's a little video there.
I'm not real sure. Fran is a lady here in the church. You might be talking about a video. Are you talking about the video from Wayne Sapp?
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's who it is. What is his name?
I'm not
Wayne?
Real familiar with what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I know what you're talking about, but I don't have the video right in front of me. Right.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Are you concerned that burning these Qurans, that this is going to put our troops who are fighting these two wars over there in increased danger?
I didn't really get you. Told you the connection's not real good. Are you saying, are we concerned there'll be some type of retaliation because
sure.
of what we have done?
Yeah, something like this certainly is not going to ease an already tense situation. Are you concerned that this is going to put our troops in any danger?
I'm not actually concerned that it's going to put our troops in danger. No, I really didn't think about that. I realize that because Islam is a very violent religion, especially the Sharia law part, that there could be some retaliation, right? We met day before yesterday with the FBI here because we have already had many death threats from within the United States and from without concerning us and concerning the burning of our building here.
Mm-hmm.
We did think about that. We did weigh that out before we did this. We chose to do it anyway because we felt like a radical statement needed to be made,
mm-hmm.
and we are just quite fed up with the weakness of the church, the condition of America, and feel like actually something needs to be done,
mm-hmm.
and just running around, passing out tracts saying Jesus loves you,
mm-hmm.
does not seem to be doing the job.
Okay. I just have one more quick thing here. Now, you mentioned that the reason for doing this on September 11th is because of what took place on September 11th. Dr. Jones, are you aware of the huge spy ring that was arrested on 9/11 and in the days and weeks afterwards, featuring intelligence agents from Israel's Mossad? One group in particular, they were situated in Liberty Park, right across the river in New Jersey, and they were filming the towers coming down, and they were cheering. And a woman who saw all this taking place called the police arrested them, Indeed, they were Israeli intelligence officers working for Israel's Mossad. And they told the arresting officers, they said, "We're not your problem. The Palestinians are your problem." Well, what happened is that around 200 Israeli intelligence officers were rounded up in the days and weeks after 9/11. As I mentioned, this one group that was filming the towers coming down and cheering. Another group was driving a van loaded with explosives, and they were headed towards the George Washington Bridge. Now, what happened is that all of these intelligence agents were arrested and then interrogated and then quietly sent back to Israel. This one group that was arrested in Liberty Park, they went on Israeli television and they said, they admitted that they were Mossad agents, and that they said that they were sent to, quote, document the event, meaning that they knew that this was going to take place and they did not warn America about it. If we're going to be burning Qurans on September 11th because of what took place on that terrible day when 3,000 Americans lost their lives, don't you think that there should be an accounting in terms of our quote-unquote ally in the region who obviously knew about this ahead of time and did nothing to warn us?
I was not aware of that, but I think if that was the case, that something very severe should be done about it, yes. Yes.
Okay, yeah, because I think that there is more to this story than simply the fact that 19 Muslims hijacked these planes and decided to fly them into buildings. And if we really are going to save our Christian civilization, and I don't just mean America, obviously, but the cradle of Western civilization, meaning Europe, we've got to come to terms with all of this. I mean, we're talking about abortion, we're talking about pornography, we're talking about
right.
The destruction of the family. The Muslims are not the ones behind this, Dr. Jones, as you know. I was just reading a report today from a rabbi, Michael Lerner, where he said that Jews are celebrating over the fact that very soon we're going to have same-sex marriage in America. Obviously, these same Jewish interests are the ones who have rammed abortion down our throats now for the last 40 years. They're the ones behind the National Abortion Rights Action League. All of these things that are designed to destroy the Christian character of America, while these Islamic countries, as you no doubt know, Dr. Jones, they don't permit any of this stuff. So my question to you is
right.
this. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be better in the face of our eternal enemy? After all, it was not the Muslims who rejected Jesus Christ and had him crucified and have resisted his teachings now for the last 2,000 years. Wouldn't it be better to try to build a bridge between the Christian and Muslim worlds against really what is a common enemy, and as St. Paul said, not just enemies of all men, but contrary to God. He was talking about the synagogue and he was talking about the Jews. Don't you think that it would be better for us as Christians to build bridges with these Muslims and maybe concentrate on defeating our common enemy?
Well, I don't believe that we can. I was not aware, of course, of that information. But I don't believe that we can build bridges with Muslims or anyone else in that sense. Well, I think what we can try to do is evangelize them, which is, of course, not necessarily our goal with the 9/11, or that we can stand up against them and we can somehow try to reveal the truth. And in the case of the Muslims, stand up against the Sharia law.
Okay. Now, Pastor, I'm sorry, Dr. Jones, you do realize that there are millions of Christians in the Middle East and in Muslim countries. In fact, my mom's family came from an Arab country. They lived there as Christians for thousands of years and never had any problems with Muslims. In fact, the largest Christian community in the Middle East was Iraq before the United States destroyed it. And there are hundreds, if not possibly thousands, of Christian churches and shrines scattered throughout these Muslim countries. They're not being destroyed. They're not being bulldozed. Nobody is being converted by the sword. Yes, there is tension in the area, but I think that this is due more to the fact that a coalition of quote-unquote Christian countries, America, England, France, Italy, take your pick, they have gone into this region, and they have killed to date over a million people just in Iraq alone. So this idea that there's this inimical hatred on the part of Islam towards Christianity or Christian culture, doesn't seem to bear up with the facts. And if I could, sir, I would like to ask a favor of you. You know, in order to get a clear a discussion here and get the picture straight, I did ask a friend of mine who happens to be a Christian who converted to Islam to listen in on this conversation and to weigh in. If you don't mind, I would like to ask him what he has to say about the things that you allege on your website and what you're trying to do. Is that okay with you?
That is fine, yes.
Okay. Nasheed, you are on the line with us from Saudi Arabia, of all places. You are an American who grew up in a Christian family, and you have now converted to Islam. What do you have to say about what the good pastor here is alleging?
Well, first of all, Mark, I'd like to say, with the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, my concern with this pastor is, what is he trying to accomplish by burning Quran? You know, on March 23rd in 1980, the Israelis in Israel had a big bonfire burning New Testaments.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I heard, they burned 200 more New Testaments in Israel
mm-hmm.
on June 15, 2008.
That's correct.
You know, and this is something they do on a regular basis. The latest thing they've been, well, I won't say the latest, they've been doing it for quite a while, but there's a lot of articles talking about how the Jews go around spitting on Christians.
That's right, yes.
And spitting on their crosses and so forth.
Yes.
Now, as a Muslim, burning the Quran to me by this pastor is just burning paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's not affecting or touching the understandings that Muslims have in the Quran. And it's not affecting anyone in any possible way except to make people look at him as a barbarian or savage, or to see him in the same light as they saw Christians during the time of the Dark Ages when they had the Inquisitions, mm-hmm. where everyone who don't believe like the standard mm-hmm. Christian doctrine taught,
right,
where great scientists like Copernicus, Galileo, and even the female scientist Hypatia, they were killed and also persecuted
mm-hmm.
because their beliefs were not the same.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'd like to share with this pastor is just a simple verse from the Quran to show what Muslims believe in terms of the tolerance and the understanding we have for peoples of other religions. This is in the second chapter of the Quran, verse 62. It says, "Those who believe in the Quran and those who follow the Jewish scriptures, and the Christians and the Sabians, any who believe in God in the last day and work righteousness, shall have their reward with their Lord. On them, shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve." So Islam is ecumenical in the sense that it opens its hearts and arms to different people of different ways. And even in our book, it's telling us that a righteous Christian will go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the, it's either our way or the highway, this backwards view of what religion should be. We have a view that those who practice righteousness, regardless of what they call themselves, will go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a book that teaches this kind of concept is what this man proposed to burn.
Okay,
and
Nasheed, are they burning copies of the New Testament in any of these Islamic countries?
No. The difference between the Muslims and the Christians is that as Muslims, we know more about what Jesus taught than Christians know about what Islam teaches.
Okay.
Today, you have almost 2 million people in Iraq who were killed, innocent people that had nothing to do with 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You have more killed in Afghanistan, people who are suffering. You have all kinds of white phosphorus, all kind of chemicals, deformed babies. The suffering is intense. But you will never hear a Muslim condemn Jesus. You will never hear a Muslim condemn the teachings, the good teachings in the Bible, because we know that it's not the good teachings of Jesus that caused those things.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's the teachings of those people who are evil. And this pastor makes a lot of claims to Islam. I would like him to point out one single verse in the Quran that justifies 9/11 or any of the things that he claims that Muslims have done.
Dr. Jones, can you give us a quote from the Quran or any of the hadiths or teachings that these Muslims use to justify killing 3,000 Americans on 9/11?
Well, what I can do is tell you like what he just said about the Quran embracing Christians and other religions, and if you're a good, righteous person, you go to heaven. Those things are, of course, anti-Bible, anti-Jesus. Jesus said, not a good person goes to heaven, not a bad person goes to heaven. Mm-hmm. The person has to be born again, covered by the blood of Jesus.
Okay.
When I look around the world, if he's in Saudi Arabia, he knows of the oppression there. Women are not even allowed to have a driver's license. What I go on is by what I see. I see in Europe, I see radical Muslims in Europe. I see them in England carrying signs saying death to Israel, death to America. Mm-hmm. You see in Germany, they have called in the Turkish police to help out with the Muslim youth there in Germany. Yeah, I do not see the peaceful Islam that he is talking about.
Well, Dr. Jones, is it not possible that the reason that we see this kind of rage on the part of the Muslims, especially towards Israel and America, is because we are a country that celebrates abortion, celebrates pornography, celebrates the destruction of family, and not only celebrates it, we export it to these countries. And so notice, they're not saying death to Christianity, death to Christians. And the video that you have on the front of your website where you show these Muslims and they're saying death to Japan, death to France, death to Spain. You know, all of these are countries that have basically infected themselves with the same kind of moral poison, okay?
Well, if they say somehow death to America, then that's somehow our fault.
No, but what I'm saying here is that they see us as the great Satan because we have embraced these evils that you are fighting against in your church that you mentioned, right? So why would they not, you know, why would they not? I mean, after all, in the book of Revelations, when it says fallen is Babylon the Great, you know, what they say is in the Bible is that afterwards is that there's great rejoicing over the fact that this evil system has fallen. So whether they're rejoicing over this ahead of time or whether they will be rejoicing over it. And listen, I don't want to see America destroyed. I want to see America saved, and I think that we can do that if we purge ourselves of these poisons that are, by their very nature, antichrist, anti-Christian. Nasheed, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dr. Jones. Go ahead with what you were going to say before I interrupted.
Mark, I wanted to, if I can make a point, I wanted to add, you look at the reaction of Americans to what they claim Muslims did on 9/11, which I don't believe Muslims had anything to do with it, but their reaction to 3,000 people being killed was hatred towards the Muslims. Mm-hmm. They called the Muslim prophet a pedophilia. They say Islam is a terrorist religion. They went and they killed almost 2 million people in Iraq, more than 1 million in Afghanistan. So what they are saying is that they are entitled to righteous anger, but the Muslims are not.
I see.
Okay? When they do all these evils to Muslims, Muslims cannot say death to America. Mm-hmm. They cannot react. They have to be in a way where they have to always be passive. Mm-hmm. Now, the good thing, I have to admit, I work in Saudi Arabia, and I give the people here credit because they make a distinction between the government and the people. The Saudis love Americans. Most of the Muslims I know, in fact, I haven't met any, that don't love American people. Mm-hmm. They love the lifestyle. They love the freedoms. What Bush said was a total one of the most ridiculous lies I've ever heard. They don't have anything against the American people. What they have a problem with is with the American government and the actions that it has taken that has caused so much evil to the world.
And not just the wars, not just the wars, but us exporting pornography, abortion, the destruction of families, and whatnot.
Yes. Moral corruption.
Yeah, those are
as
the things that we are standing up against, of course.
Yes, absolutely, Dr.
Those
Gage.
Are the issues. Now, I don't want to interrupt you, but I think we have been on about 40 minutes. So
okay.
I want to
thank you very much for coming on. I realize that this is a very controversial subject. I know that these are difficult discussions to have. But, Dr. Jones, I would at least hope that you will give some consideration to the things that we discussed here today. You have been given a job to lead the flock. And I think that at this point, the real danger that is facing Christian America isn't from a bunch of third world people who do not have the ability to influence the minds of our young people. It's the people sitting in offices in New York and in Washington, D.C., in Tel Aviv, and in Hollywood, who literally are infecting the minds of our young people with the same leaven of the Pharisees that Jesus warned us about.
Oh, I would definitely agree. There's no doubt about it.
And listen, when you're burning these Korans on September 11th, throw a couple of Talmuds in with it, would you please?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for coming on.
All right.
Thank you. Mark Dankoff, I'm sorry we did not get to bring you up. Man, if I could, I would have hogtied this guy and would not have allowed him to go. But anyway.
Hey, you know, we are on a safe line here.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
I should have said, is there any truth, Dr. Jones, to the fact that you were Ted Haggard's roommate in a lot of road trips? But of course, being the nice guy and being the dispassionate media personality that I am, I have to refrain from that kind of humor on the air. particularly since I wasn't even invited. See,
I guarantee you right now, he is chugging down Pepto-Bismol as if it were water in the desert. Nasheed, you did an excellent
job. You know the thing.
Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
You did a great job.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was just going to say that I found it interesting that, of course, as he kept going back to 9/11 as the basis and rationale for what it was that he was doing, had we had another hour with this guy, it would have been fantastic to bring on some of the evidence. For example, I could have said, you know, Dr. Jones, in terms of these consultants and engineers for 9/11 Truth, which includes all of these distinguished PhDs in physics and in mechanical engineering in this company, and from some of our major universities and think tanks, they indicate that the official explanation of what happened is scientifically impossible. And that in conjunction with some of the Larry Silverstein evidence. Do you know who Larry Silverstein is, Dr. Jones? Well, no, never heard of him. Well, we would have just brought out just a little bit of that, and then we would have said, has it occurred to you, as a result of hearing just a little bit of what we brought out on this show, that 9/11, in fact, may have well been a false flag incident designed to point the finger at the Islamic world. And that, in turn, is serving the interests of the Zionist state of Israel and serving the interests of the multinational corporations who want American troops committed to these areas in order to steal these people's resources.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when he kept saying, well, the difference between burning the Quran and burning the Talmud goes back to 9/11, if we had been able, which we didn't have time to do it, of course, but if we had been on air long enough to get at the bottom of who was behind 9/11 with some contradictory evidence, that would have just smoked him.
Absolutely. And listen.
I agree 100%. You know, what I wanted to mention, Mark, you know, if he believes the official 9/11 fiction, that it was these 19 Arab hijackers that were Muslim zealots who did this because they were following the Quran, I want to share with him what the mainstream media has printed about these so-called Muslim zealots. The wife of one of them, Muslim zealot, mentions that her husband was more interested in Playboy than he was in the Quran. One of them, Muhammad Atta, you know, he was in a bar and he got up on top of the bar on a table dancing,
right,
saying, F God.
Yeah, Yeah, and we're supposed to believe these are Muslims, practicing Muslims.
Yeah, they hang out with they love pork chops.
Exactly. Yeah.
They hang out with mafia. They took drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Now these are how they were heavy drinkers. Nordic Coke was has a status, and they spoke both Hebrew and Arabic.
Yeah.
This is how they were described by Amanda Keller and the girlfriends of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here it is, these guys who love Playboy more than Quran, if they're indeed, if you believe the 9/11 is fiction, if they indeed did 9/11, why is a Muslim who loved the Quran more than Playboy, who believes the truth of what the Quran is teaching,
mm-hmm.
and have none of those habits being blamed for what these supposed immoral
mm-hmm.
drug addicts have mm-hmm. done.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, this is the thing, and I'm going to take the good pastor at his word, and I'm going to accept that he didn't hear any of this business involving Israel's Mossad and all of the rest of that. I will assume, Dr. Jones, that you're telling the truth there. But this is what's known as a little bit of information being dangerous, okay?
Exactly.
See, this is the problem, is going off half-cocked and rushing to judgment over these things. I mean, look, this guy should know. This guy, given his activities, knowing the cloud of evil that has befallen over America, the fact that our media is totally in the grips of completely anti-Christian, anti-human forces, the same with our government. Why would you believe anything that our media and government tell us when you know that they are dead set against everything that we hold to be, that we cherish? Why
yeah,
would he believe
you're
anything?
Touching.
Go ahead.
You're touching upon something critical there, Mark, and that is, hey, Dr. Jones, if you're one of these Pentecostal Christians who typically demonizes the American news media as being liberal and pink and decadent and unreliable, and by the way, we agree with you,
yep.
A, who owns these media outlets, and B, sure. if you are going to say that these people distort everything else under the sun that they report, why should we then, prima facie, believe what they're saying about 9/11 in Israel?
Absolutely. I mean, you can't
yeah.
believe them if they predict that New Year's is going to fall on January the 1st. And yet this guy is basing his entire church policy on information that they have provided. I mean, this is what is so maddening about dealing with people like this. I mean, you know, I don't want to give this guy any more publicity. I'm hoping that the conversation that we had with him is going to do something to lower his fever, throw a little bit of water on his fever and get him to calm down and start thinking rationally. I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for it. But he's just one of thousands. I mean, Mark,
exactly.
you know as a Christian pastor that he is emblematic of most Christian pastors in this country today. They may not be burning Korans in their parking lots the way that he's planning to do on September 11th, but the same madness, the same thing that is destroying this country. I mean, this is what you and I pointed out on the show last week that we did when we ate Debbie Kidd for lunch. The people who have perpetrated 9/11, who have gotten America into these wars against the Islamic world, and who are peddling these lies about Islam and about the Islamic world, they are aiding and abetting, the people like Debbie Kidd and this pastor, they are aiding and abetting the enemies of this country.
But what I'm talking about, Mark, is the level of this pastor's ignorance.
Yes.
You know, I wish we had more time because I really wanted to take him up on his load of Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
That he doesn't know a thing about, his perception that women are being oppressed in the Islamic world.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really wanted to take him up on those things as well.
Well,
but I think, to me, all of this points to us having to do a real full court press
mm-hmm.
on addressing the 9/11 issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can put together, and the argument is there, and it's already been put together. If we can just articulate it in a way to get the masses of people to see, and they are seeing, they're becoming more and more aware. The great work by Richard Gage, the great work by mm-hmm. Stephen Jones, mm-hmm. the great work by many of the writers about 9/11, the recent proof that came out showing that the CIA, produced fake Bin Laden videos.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Okay, that's an admission that they came out with recently. And it's something that scientists have proved, that each and every one of the videos that came out about Bin Laden was false. But there's so much evidence that we can go into. If we can really destroy this 9/11 fiction in the minds of people, that will help us go a long way.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, what really surprised me about this interview was, I'm sorry, when he came out and admitted, he said, well, you know, it really isn't that much of a threat to America. You know, when I pointed out, that, you know, yeah. that the real roaches who are sure. eating at our ankles are not the Muslims, but rather that other group of Middle Eastern
exactly.
fanatics who, you know, control our money system, who control our media, who control our Congress. And then he came out and admitted, he said, well, it's really not, you know, that pressing. We're really not threatened by these people. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Have you forgotten what you said
yes.
on your own video, Pastor? I mean,
yes.
I'm sorry.
I had a list. I saved a list that somebody sent me some time ago, which, of course, we didn't have time because I think this guy wanted to get out of Dodge pretty clearly. But a list of all of the most significant Jews involved in the homosexual movement in the United States at the highest levels of virtually any of the high-profile gay groups you could mention. And, you know, had he been confronted with something like that, or the amount of Jewish money going into Planned Parenthood, for example, and with all of the stats, all of the dates, all of the money figures, and then could say, now, Pastor, confronted with all of this, you're sitting there talking on your website about how abortion and homosexuality are such a threat to America, and confronted with all the evidence that these are largely Jewish-financed, Jewish-promoted industries, and yet mm-hmm. you turn around and say that the Jews are not the primary problem in terms of what's happened in the United States and in Western Europe. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, this is just asinine.
Well,
I mean,
it is. And like I said, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to come out and suggest that he is a paid agent of deliberate disinfo interest.
I don't think he is either. I think he's a moron.
Yeah,
he's not very smart.
Yeah, he's not very smart. I hate to sound this pejorative, but you know, so many of these Pentecostal pastors. I don't know about this guy. But so many of them have mail-order theological educations. They've never traveled
yeah.
anywhere abroad, especially in the Middle East. And mm-hmm. they live with so many self-contradictions in terms of their moral crusades, mm-hmm. at the same time that they never seem to get it in terms of who the opposition is in this cultural war that they're constantly speaking about.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Well, listen, one of the things that I would encourage everybody listening to this program do is to go to the Good Pastor's website. It is DoveWorld, DoveWorld, DoveWorld.org, and you will see his video there on the front, and he's got all kinds of other little goodies there, and he has contact info. Contact him. Say that you listen to this program. Tell him that he's making a big mistake, and that if he really wants to fulfill his mission as a Christian pastor, then he needs to be speaking out against the synagogue of Satan and to not perpetuate these wars against the Islamic world that are going to destroy the Western world if they are not stopped. I put this out as a theory the other day, that one of the things that these Jewish interests are trying to accomplish, in addition to destroying the Islamic world, because let's face it, Nasheed, as you know, the Islamic world will not bend. You may have corrupt governments, but the people themselves, they're never going to embrace the kind of moral poison that has destroyed the Western Christian world. So they have decided that Islam has
sure.
to go. Okay, that's number one.
But you look at who are their most dangerous enemies. Look at Iran. I would say Iran is one of the few that does not bend to them.
Exactly,
ahead,
yes. Absolutely. And the other thing is this, and I think, Mark, that this will resonate very powerfully with you. The Jews have been seething for 2,000 years ever since their temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. They see us, the Western world, as the descendants of the Roman Empire. And they want to do to us what our ancestors did to them. And anything participating in any kind of propaganda that puts forward this idea that we've got to do this with the Muslims and that with the Muslims because they're out to do this and they're out to do that, as I said before, what you're doing is throwing a bucket of gasoline on your house while it's burning. You should be throwing water on it. The good news, ladies and gentlemen, in addition to the fact that Mark Dankoff is a regular installment on this program, the other good piece of news is that my good friend Nasheed Abdul Khalik of Saudi Arabia, he is also going to be appearing regularly on this program. I've been friends, good friends, actually I would say brothers with Nasheed now for several years. And some of the most engaging and interesting and really heartwarming conversations that I have had have been with my big black friend in Saudi Arabia. And trust me, this guy, ladies and gentlemen, he would scare you to death if you saw him someplace in the wrong circumstances. But he is gentle.
I didn't realize I was that ugly.
No. You're a good-looking guy, but you're like Denzel Washington. You know, he's a big, imposing guy. You don't want to get on Denzel's bad side. And Nasheed is going to be a regular fixture on this program as well. Nasheed, I know it's late where you're at. I'm going to give you just a minute here to wrap things up on your end before I cut you loose.
Okay, I just want to say I thank Mark immensely for inviting me on the show, and I really feel honored to be part of this. And Mark is someone that I've always admired. I read his article Through the Eyes of a Muslim years ago, and that touched me deeply. And I didn't know him then, and I said, I have to get in touch with this guy. I have to get to know who he is. And finally, when we made contact, I found his personality to be very warm. I found him to be very understanding. And I found his views very much agreeable with mine, especially when looking at who are the real enemies, who is our most dangerous opponent for today. But Mark impressed me a lot with his courage. When I grow up, I want to be just like him.
And I don't know about that.
As a man that has 9 kids and is still able to do the things that he's doing, it's very, very impressive.
Well, I appreciate
and
that.
And to me, this is a time that what I would say, all right-minded people, whether they're Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, even Jews, mm-hmm. who want what's right, have to come together because the house is on fire.
Yeah, the house is
we
on
have a
fire.
Crisis situation. Mm-hmm. We have a crisis situation. Humanity is being attacked. And the Jews, the Zionists, the ones who want to control the world, their aim is world control.
Yes.
You know, they want to have that power to dominate the world and have all the rich resources in the hands of just a small percentage mm-hmm. of the people, which is themselves, and have us live as slaves, serving their bidding, and have all kinds of outrageous laws that benefits them to the detriment of the people. We see what they've done with the Holocaust-type laws in Europe, mm-hmm. and we see the kind of attitudes that are taken once you're called anti-Semitic. People lose their jobs, their livelihood. You look at what happened to Helen Thomas and others for just speaking out the truth, just giving an opinion. If Helen Thomas had given that opinion about any other people in the world, she'd still have a job today.
Yep.
But they claim that they don't have any power, but yet they boastfully say, in the words of Sharon and others, that we, the Jews, control America and other things. So it's a time where we have to use enlightenment. Mm-hmm. We have to use the word of truth that we know. Mm-hmm. In Islam, we have a saying, each one teach one. And spread this news because it's not going to come from the governments or the top people. It's going to come from the masses.
Absolutely.
It's going to come from the people who have hearts and minds to want to see the right thing done.
Absolutely.
I'll wrap up and say I thank Mark for inviting me to be on the show, and I'm looking forward to it. And I pray that it will make a difference in this world.
Absolutely. And if you would please, Nasheed, give everybody your web ad or your website and how they can get
my
hold of
website.
You.
My website is called www.ascertainthetruth.com. And the reason why it's ascertainthetruth.com is because in this world, we can't accept whatever we are being told, especially by the media and our leaders. Mm-hmm. We have to investigate.
Yes.
We cannot just accept things blindly like a whale swallowing everything whole.
Mm-hmm.
We have to check things out. And my website provides a vehicle to allow truths to be told.
Mm-hmm.
Mark's show is also on my website. If you go on the website and press radio programs, you will see Mark's shows with all the...
Really?
You did that for me? They're all there.
You did that for me all the way from Saudi Arabia, the headquarters of evil.
Yes.
Right?
The terrorist center of the world.
Exactly. That. The Islam is of the devil. Nasheed,
yes.
I cannot thank you enough for coming on, and I really, really look forward to you being a regular part of this program. So I'm going to cut you loose because it is late there in Saudi Arabia. I am going to pass the mic over to my good friend Mark Dankoff and let him run his mouth for a moment before we close out the show. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay.
God bless our friend in Saudi Arabia. It was the most informative, interesting radio show, and I look forward to hearing further shows from him. As a matter of fact, I have sent to myself his online library in regard to 9/11, and we'll be reading that with great interest. I would say to our pastor friend today from Florida, Terry Jones, of the Dove Chapel movement, that once again we are confronted with a series of contradictions that don't make sense. Pastor Jones, I would say the same things to you that I have posited to our friends in the Tea Party movement and some of the misguided in the Constitution Party movement. Getting back to what I would have said had I been invited to the Tea Party gathering in Nashville some months ago, I would pose this to Dr. Jones as well. Dr. Jones, why is the domestic and foreign policy of the modern American conservative movement and the Republican Party being defined by a view of biblical prophecy unheard of until the 19th century, and largely promoted worldwide by the House of Rothschild's distribution of the Scofield Reference Bible through its Oxford University Press? Why are we in an alliance with a nation that has repeatedly committed crimes against the United States, including the Levon Affair, the Mossad involvement in the Kennedy assassination, the premeditated attack on the USS Liberty in June of 1967, the Pollard spy case, participation with Communist China in the theft of American nuclear secrets at Los Alamos through the Promis Affair, and the more recent Ben-Ami Kadish and IPAC Rosen-Weissman spy cases? Dr. Jones, why are we in an alliance as American conservatives and Christians with a domestic Jewish lobby, which has militantly supported and financed the radical feminist abortion and homosexual lobbies most of us are sworn to oppose? Why are we as a pro-life movement committed to policies of genocide against the Palestinians and the advocacy of the mass murder of Iranians at the behest of an ally, quote-unquote, which is the chief nuclear, biological, and chemical military power in the Middle East and a non-signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty signed, however, by Iran? One final question, Dr. Jones. Was 9/11 perpetrated by Muslims and Al-Qaeda, quote-unquote, or was it an inside job? Was it perpetrated by the Israeli Mossad? Was it something that was covered up with the help of Zionist elements in the American news media? Was it, in fact, the classic false flag operation designed to commit us once again to doing Israel's bidding without knowing who and what was the hidden hand, sending thousands upon thousands of Americans to their deaths, putting us deeper and deeper in debt, and creating more enemies for America worldwide? Think about it, my friend.
Wow. Guys, as I said, I cannot thank you enough. I knew it was going to be a good show. I just didn't know it was going to be that good. I'm going to cut both of you loose, and I will call each of you later on after I get the program loaded up. Again, thank you very much for coming on the show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you go on this Saturday, August 7th edition of the Ugly Truth Podcast, heard on this fine podcasting network, theuglytruth.podbean.com. I think we did the right thing today, ladies and gentlemen. I know that... Dr. Jones may have been a little bit uncomfortable over this, but this is what we have to do, not just for our country, but for him, for the people under his sway. You see, because one day they will wake up and they will find out that they have been in bed with the enemy. And that is a terrible morning to wake up and face something like that. So we've got to get them out of that situation as quickly and as mercifully as possible. Thank you for attending, and thank you for all your support and your prayers, ladies and gentlemen.